Our scripture lesson comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our salvation. Amen. Inez DePoy, Elizabeth Smith, Viola Fleming, Emma Lou Grable, Lou Schmidt, Mary Lou Compton, Cora Lee Hayes, Joyce Covington, Margaret Palmer, Emily Lopez, Amy Lincoln, Susie Smith, Amy Cantrell, Nancy Jo Walton, Henrietta Schuhart, Evora Lee, Sheila Woods, Laura Tolbert, Mandy Jones, Vera Smith, Lorinda Smith, Kathleen Dorn, Becky Smith, Saren Dorn Smith. These are some of the mothers of my faith. Each of them women, most of them older than I, two of them younger than I, have had some kind of impact on my faith journey. Each one of them either taught me something new about God, shared some deep wisdom from their own spiritual journey with me, has shown me God's love in deep and sustaining ways, helped birth in me something that highlights God's gift or call in my life, or has challenged me to grow and stretch in some point along my journey. And some of them have done more than one of those things. These are some of the mothers of my faith, not even all the ones written on my paper. I edited a few. My personal family members, my grandmothers, my mother, my sister, my daughter are among the list. The mothers of my faith also include some of my Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, friends who are my contemporaries and some who are not, parishioners and colleagues. This list doesn't include all of the mothers of my faith, and it certainly doesn't include the men, maybe the fathers of my faith, who have had an impact on my journey. Many people have impacted where I am, and I'm sure also where you are, as persons of faith, as followers of Jesus Christ, where we are today. So I invite you to take a moment to think about the mothers of your faith. The list might include, or maybe not, your mother, your grandmothers, aunts, sisters, even daughters. It might include teachers, mentors, friends, neighbors, Sunday school teachers, camp counselors, coaches, maybe even pastors. Who are the women who have helped shape your faith? Who are the women who have nurtured your sense of being a child of God? Who are those women who have calmed your fears in those dark moments of life? Who has helped you to see your God-given gifts and graces, your unique talents and interests, and who have loved you even despite your quirks. Who are the mothers of your faith? In addition to the women who have personally had an impact on our lives and faith journeys, there are a number of women who have helped us to get where we are today as a church and specifically as Methodists. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John Wesley, who began the Methodist movement, was a woman who had a great impact on her children and on our church. Susanna was the mother of 19 children, though only 8 of them were living at the time of her death. She personally educated her own children and also at times acted as the spiritual leader of the congregation to whom her husband was the pastor. One biographer wrote these words about Susanna Wesley: "Although she never preached a sermon or published a book or founded a church, she is known as the mother of Methodism." There were times when there were long absences of her husband Samuel for various different reasons when you go back and read the stories about their history. During one such absence, she tells in a letter of her method of nurturing her children. She writes, "I am not a man nor a minister, yet as a mother and a mistress, I felt I ought to do more than I had yet done. I resolved to begin with my own children, in which I observe the following method. I take such a proportion of time as I can spare every night to discourse with each child apart. On Monday, I talk with Molly. On Tuesday, with Henry. Wednesday, with Nancy. Thursday, with Jackie. Friday, with Patty. Saturday, with Charles, and so on. I don't think there was enough days of the week, however, for all of our children, so I'm not sure how that goes. During another absence of her husband had appointed a substitute to come and stand in for him for his pastoral duties. But unfortunately, this substitute preached only on one subject every Sunday, on the subject of repaying debts. So that subject got a little old, and Susanna didn't feel like it was the fullness of spiritual upliftment that, you know, especially her children needed. And so she began gathering her children on Sunday afternoons for their own family services. They would sing a psalm, and then, smart woman, she would pull a sermon out of either her husband's or her father's sermon files and read it to them, and then they would close with another psalm. Other local people began asking if they could, too, attend the services. And at one point, there were over 200 people who would attend Susanna's Sunday afternoon gatherings. Unfortunately, the Sunday morning gatherings, you know, they dwindled to almost nothing. I hope her husband came back soon. Both John Wesley and his brother Charles, who wrote many of our beloved hymns, attribute their strength of faith and their accomplishments, if they would call them that, to their mother, Susanna. If it weren't for Susanna Wesley, we would probably not be sitting here in Forest Hill United Methodist Church today. In addition to Susanna Wesley, we might include these women in our list of mothers of our faith. Barbara Heck, known as the mother of American Methodism. Sarah Mallett, the first woman to be authorized to preach by John Wesley. Isabella Bomefree, better known as Sojourner Truth, a slave who, when she was emancipated, formed Kingston Methodist Church. She preached in many places and also was a leader in the abolitionist movement. 8 women, I don't know their names, who gathered in Boston on a rainy, stormy day, March 23rd, 1869. These 8 women gathered to hear the stories of 2 missionary wives who were home on furlough with their husbands from India, Mrs. Butler and Mrs. Parker. They shared about the desperate conditions of women in India. They shared that male doctors could not treat women. Schooling for girls was almost non-existent in that country. Single, trained, dedicated women were needed for medical and educational work. And so those eight women that heard those stories decided to do something about it. So they invited other women to come and join them, and they decided to form something that they called Methodist Women's Foreign Missionary Society. They set their dues at 2 cents per week and a prayer. And just about a year and a half later, on those meager donations, 2 pennies and a prayer, they had raised enough funds to send 2 women, Isabella Thoburn, an educator, and Dr. Clara Swain, a medical doctor, to India. Those 2 women went and did medical and educational work, and now there's a university in Isabella's name and a hospital, which was the first hospital for women in Asia. And both of the university and the hospital are still working institutions today. The Women's Foreign Missionary Society was the first of a handful of women's missionary organizations that combined to be what we now know as the United Methodist Women. And this year we celebrate 150 years of, since that fateful rainy day so many years ago, 150 years of strong, wonderful service to women, children, to people in need around the world. In addition to those nameless 8 women, we might also add to the list of mothers of our faith people like Helenor Davison, Margaret Newton Van Cott, Anna Howard Shaw, Anna Oliver, Amanda Berry Smith, Sarah Dickey, Minnie Goins, Maud Keister Jensen, and others. These women played a role or were firsts on the road to full clergy rights for women in what is now the United Methodist Church. If it wasn't for what these women did years ago, Mandy and I and our clergy sisters would not be able to do the ministry we do today. In addition to these, we might add to our list the mothers of our faith, Marjorie Matthews, who was the first woman bishop in the United Methodist Church. And then just 4 years later, Leontine Kelly, the first African-American woman bishop, was elected in our denomination. In addition to these, many lay women went or acted as firsts within the Methodist movement. First missionary, first evangelist, hymn writers, and so on. This list might include Sophronia Farrington, Phoebe Palmer, Ann Wilkins, Amanda Hanby Billimer, and Fanny Crosby. As we remember these women who have made tremendous sacrifices, as well as amazing contributions to our collective faith journey through mission endeavors and leadership roles in the church, these are some of the mothers of our faith, known and maybe unknown to us. As I think about the mothers of my faith, I think about my grandmother, Inez. She was a faithful reader of the Bible. She read it cover to cover multiple times and also served at her church, First United Methodist in Tampa, for many years. I think of my grandmother, Elizabeth, whom we called Baba. Some of y'all have heard me talking about her before. And I can remember spending the night with her laying in bed and hearing her whisper all the prayers, and I would hear the names of me and my cousins and our family members and all the concerns on her heart. I think of Viola and Coralie, who kept me in the nursery at church when I was very tiny, and I remember that they would help console me when I wanted my mommy and daddy. They fed me also some of the best fried chicken I've ever tasted in our church on Wednesday nights. I think of Miss Covington, who taught my Sunday school in 4th grade, and she really listened to us. You know, she listened to our concerns and our questions and certainly made an impression on me. I think of Margaret Palmer, who invited me to help prepare communion at church when I was probably in elementary school and invited me to be a part of a liturgical dance for Palm Sunday. I think of Susie Smith, who was my college chaplain, who encouraged me, along with others, to use my creativity and to use my leadership potential to help lead our campus ministry. I think of Henrietta Shewhart. She was my neighbor right after I got out of college, and she was more than 60 years older than I was at the time, but she was my best friend. She took me to all kinds of social gatherings and card parties and church, and she helped me to know that I had family even though I was far from home. I think of my own mother, Lorinda, who I get to spend Mother's Day with. I don't often get to spend, but now we live in the same place, and so I get to spend Mother's Day with her. She faithfully took me to Sunday school and church and youth group and Wednesday nights at church and supported me as I was a religion major, and then when I decided to go to seminary, and supports me in my journey as a pastor and preacher today. I think of Amy and Nancy and Leslie and Amy and Karen and Laura and Mandy and Vera and Becky, friends and colleagues, and Saren, my daughter, who challenged me today to be the best disciple and the best leader I can be for Jesus Christ. These are some of the mothers of my faith. Who are the mothers of your faith? Paul writes to Timothy, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you." Paul mentions the mothers of Timothy's faith. And then Paul encourages Timothy to do some things, bold things, courageous things, out of the norm things, with the faith he has been given. Paul writes, "I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit rather of power and of love and of self-discipline." As we remember the mothers of our faith, may we be encouraged, emboldened, enlivened to live out our faith in courageous ways. May we be encouraged to love fiercely, to love when it's hard to love when the situation seems to call for a different response. And let us live with self-discipline. In a world that has gone wild with hateful and inflammatory words, in a world that seems anything but disciplined, where violence and indiscretion and pleasure-seeking are concerned, let us be guided by the mothers of our faith in ways of holy and healthy living. And as we consider who are the mothers of our faith, let us also consider how each of us is nurturing others in the faith. Whether we are old or young, mature in years, or just getting started in life, male or female, we can encourage others in their faith. We can point out ways that we see God in them. We can spend time with one another really listening, acknowledging one another, helping one another develop our talents, helping others develop their sense of self, and certainly the reality that they too are a child of God. We can pray for and with each other. We can be God's love and light to someone else, whether man or woman, student or child. On this Mother's Day, let us give thanks to the women in our lives who have nurtured our faith and helped us on our journey. And may we be a help and encouragement to others as well. A few weeks ago, the last time that Carol Snuggs was here at church, he asked me if on Mother's Day, he said, "You know, we've got to sing that hymn." And I didn't know what he was talking about at the time, so we had to put it all together. But he was saying, "We've got to sing Faith of Our Fathers, but we've got to sing it Faith of Our Mothers." So if you can change the words in your head, we're going to stand up and sing hymn number 710, Faith of Our Mothers.